Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut in the Clock. Hut in the Clock on Caroline Willie D. Mace. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing and Heating and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Jonathan Hutton joining us a little bit later than usual this week. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hut, always appreciate you stopping by. We're just over a week away from the NFL draft.
Finally.
We're almost there, except I'm here for a few more days of gossip and tea and lies and rumors, but after another week, I think I'll be ready for just action, finally.
I'm still waiting to hear back from the commissioner on having the first round Thursday, just since we have this little dead period between the – we might as well fill it with something exciting like
between
the draft.
Between like a playoff.
So let's just go ahead and get it in. Let's look at the bright side. Let's use our resources and slide the draft in, and then we can start round one for the Preds. Because it's all about
you
me.
You want to get it? Oh, I see what you're saying. Because your schedule,
oh, yeah,
Willie,
about
my
Willie.
Schedule.
Yeah,
it's about my schedule, Hut. I have called the commissioner's office, and I'm waiting to hear back.
Roger would understand.
I will. Back
I left a message.
I'm all for it. But we can. You could also reduce the amount of time in between picks. Like the draft will start at 7 o'clock. We will not have the Chicago Bears on the clock until 7:15. That's ridiculous.
At the absolute earliest.
Get Caleb Williams.
They waste
on
so much time at that thing. It's unbelievable.
At the absolute earliest.
Got to get Kuiper on TV.
You know what? Mel deserves his airtime. I'll give that to
Did
Mel.
Did you say airtime or hair time?
Both.
Both. What a style that Mel Kuiper. Who, by the way, just side note, Hope Hines put Mel Kuiper on TV for the first time.
Wow.
In Baltimore.
Is that right?
I didn't
know that.
He went down. He heard about this kid. Hope tells it better. I shouldn't tell the story. Let him tell it. But Hope found out about this kid in Baltimore who had all these tapes on prospects as like a hobby, and went to his basement and did a story on him. And it was Mel Kuiper Jr. How crazy is that?
That's awesome.
Humble beginnings, even for Mel Kuiper.
It's a great story in his book, In Hindsight, by the way. Available now in bookstores near you.
Hashtag not sponsored.
All right. I give free plugs to Hope Hines any day. Yeah,
he deserves it. Both Hope Hines and Mel Kuiper deserve all the free plugs. But we've been breaking down. It feels like every single possible angle and approach that the Titans could take to the first round of the draft. And I'm sure that you've been doing the same thing. Between these possible scenarios, let's say at 7, Joe Alt is not there. Do you take the best player available? Do you take the best tackle available, or do you trade back and hope that there is one, you know, a trade partner, and two, that if you do trade back, that there's going to be a game-changing player for you available at that spot?
I'm trading back because in this scenario, if you have Alt available, and who else did you say is not available? Who else did you say was drafted? Why? So in this scenario, Caroline, Alt has been drafted, I'm assuming, by the Chargers.
Yes.
That means Marvin Harrison Jr. could have been drafted. I mean, there's going to be a quarterback on the board at 7 for a team to trade up with. Quarterbacks on the board that a team's going to try to jump and make sure they draft, I'm trading back. I'm setting up my team with future first-round picks, and I'm getting more draft capital now for this draft because the Titans don't have much of it. And, I mean, you're allowed to hit on picks in the top 100 and beyond, not just at pick number 7. So, yeah, I'm trading back, gathering more picks, and bringing more talent to the roster that, oh, by the way, still is not that deep.
I'm glad you bring up quarterback potentially on the board at 7, because this is something that I talked about this morning when I was on with Robbie and Joe. And
no,
something
I'm not drafting.
That Jared's been talking about. You're not taking a quarterback?
No.
What if it's?
I'm not.
What if it's Drake May?
Who do you love? Who do you love? I loved a lot of these guys last August. I don't even like Caleb Williams all that much.
I don't think
quite
I
frankly.
Do either.
And I'm surprised that I'm not buying the hype as much with this quarterback class, because I bought the hype in 2021. It was a terrible NFL career for a lot of those guys. 2022, you know, I think one quarterback has been to the playoffs, or was that 2021 with Trevor Lawrence? Either way, maybe this is a Hall of Fame career for 4 of them, of the 5 that could be drafted first round, maybe 6. I don't know if I'm buying the hype that much, but point being, I don't like any of these guys more than And I'm assuming Caleb Williams is off the board. Maybe Jaden Daniels, but build around Will Levis and get him some talent.
Why does that question keep coming up?
Don't treat him like Justin Fields. Don't treat him like Justin Fields in Chicago.
Yeah, but what if the guy's sitting there at seven? Is there? There's no chance that's going to happen, is there?
I mean, there is a possibility
of a Drake May. I'm saying Drake May. He's not going to seven.
You never. It's not necessarily.
I didn't think Will Levis was going to be available at 32.
Yeah, I didn't
either.
Think he was going to be available at 32 either. But he was. I mean, in the second round. But I think some of it is, you just don't know. How and this is what we've continued to talk about at least the last couple of weeks is where is it in the draft, because it happens every year, just about every year, where is it in the draft where that one move alters everything? This year it could be in the top 4 or 5 that this team moves up, this team moves back, now it alters everything, and maybe it's not Drake May, maybe some other quarterback falls, maybe it's Jaden Daniels that falls further down. If he's there for the Titans to take, then do you take him? I'm not sure. I would be hard pressed to not take him, but I would, if he's there and I'm there at seven, I'm moving out of that pick. I gotta trust that our evaluation of Will Levis was right, and we're gonna give him an opportunity to solidify himself as the franchise quarterback. All we need to do is help him. Helping him means surrounding him with individuals.
I mean, the general manager was here when they drafted him, not just Brian Callahan, right? Callahan wasn't. But point being, there's someone vouching for him. And let me also say, Drake May, perception, I can't stop thinking about this. He was going into the season the number two quarterback, and at times people were saying that he could be the number one overall pick, okay? And I get it. Will Levis was hyped too. At North Carolina, in that conference, Willie, I don't know if you'll roll your eyes at this or not, they back-to-back years with Drake May, they fell off a cliff in November. Like I won't say they quit, but they went from being like unbeaten to not winning. And If you're that great, I mean, let's put up some points and go win the game. Caleb Williams didn't have a defense, but he put up numbers. I like Drake May. I like the alpha qualities of what he's saying. I just don't like the perception I have of what he should have been accomplishing at North Carolina. We had the same question about Will Levis, right? I don't know how to differentiate the two, quite frankly, if it's between those two. And at the shakeup in the draft, Mace, we know Washington's taking a quarterback. Why are the Patriots so silent right now? That's also a spot where maybe they want to load up on picks with a new head coach and general manager, because they're not in love with the third best quarterback unless it's Jaden Daniels. You see what I'm saying? Like that could be the big stunner, is Arizona thinks they're going to get a haul and it ends up being a team ahead of them that we haven't really considered, because it's not the quarterback that the Patriots would have drafted. The assumption that 1, 2, 3, regardless of the order of 2 and 3, just going to take the quarterback there. To me, if I'm evaluating, I want one of the other two and not just necessarily who's left for the picking. But I mean, again, I want to build through high picks instead of just putting everything on one rookie quarterback that we're not really sure, flip of the coin, who's going to work out and who doesn't.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton discussing the Tennessee Titans and their and the NFL's upcoming draft. Jonathan, I was reading an article the other day, and the article was saying which teams in the NFL needs to get their draft right. And it had six teams that needed to get it right. And I was surprised that I didn't see the Tennessee Titans amongst the six teams. But I asked you the question, is the Titans – one of these teams that needs to get it right this year in regards to their draft?
So this is you can't see the forest because you're in the trees, right? Okay. Yes, because they have missed on previous drafts. Now we've seen some good things of the recent rookie class, good things of the some of the late round picks recent, but they have whiffed. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is one of the few first-round picks that they actually extend within this franchise. yeah, they need to get it right. This is a critical building block for this new era, this updated version of what Titans football is going to look like. And they have the 7th pick. They have a top 10 pick. Absolutely, they need to get this right. But I think the 30,000-foot view of the league is, what's the coach need to do? What's the general manager need to do? Because they've now been around the organization for 3 or 4 years. Were the Giants on that list?
Yeah, the Giants was on that list. It was the Giants, Joe Shane, Chicago,
and Brian Daboll.
Dallas.
This is their third draft. This is their third draft.
Dallas,
they have a
was
high
on
pick.
There.
Yeah. Because Dallas doesn't do anything in free agency.
New England
agency.
On there,
yeah.
too?
I think Denver was on there. There was 16.
Quarterback
Denver
move.
Makes sense.
I need to go back. Yeah.
They've got to get it right. So I agree with all of those, but it's the perception of who's in power and how hot the seat is. Or you got rid of Russell Wilson. So, okay, let's see what you got in Denver and who you're going after, because it's not going to be just one quarterback without any backups or the starter as it is right now anyway. The Titans need to get it right because they haven't been hitting many base hits even in the draft. High.
The teams were...
They need to go with the scouting staff and everything that's been in place and some of the guys that are familiar faces. They need to go and not just hit a single. They need a double, triple, home run, because they don't have many picks and they need to take advantage of the ones they have in the first, second round right now.
Yeah, you're right. They need singles and doubles, because I think the home run ultimately is your quarterback, and you hope if you hit singles and doubles, you're setting him up to be the home run, home run hitter or the home run swing. But the teams were Chicago. There was five. Excuse me. Teams were Chicago, the Giants, Minnesota, Dallas, and Carolina. So those were the five teams that in this article that they had to get it right. They have to get it right this upcoming draft. And I'm looking at the Titans and I'm thinking, well, the Titans should be one of these teams that, considering what they have not done in recent years, considering where they're going to be, or ultimately where they want to be, opening up this stadium in 3 years, I've always said everything they do from this year on, is setting them up for going to that new stadium. I've always said that, and I believe it. They want to have a Super Bowl team about time they hit 2027 and going to that new stadium.
Well, and that'll be the final year of, hypothetically here, mm-hmm. Of Levis's rookie contract, 5th year they could use. Again, take advantage of the rookie contract and have a rookie left tackle or wide receiver under contract for that same distance, right? That to me would be the goal. If you're staying at 7, you're helping out everything with your offense. And what is an offensive draft? So that's the other thing we don't know, is how many offensive players are graded as a true first round pick for them on a week from tomorrow, because this is a totally different outlook on what they are targeting. Even at tackle, what's the quality of left tackle that they must have for Bill Callahan's offensive line? Do they want more of a finesse player, or do they want that grit that would fit certainly what Mike Vrabel and John Robinson would have drafted?
Hutt, this is a hypothetical that I threw at the gang earlier in the show. And in the whole eye of a little more of a long-term view, if you thought, you just got done saying, you know, what does the board look like? How good is the tackle? You definitely need the tackle, but where does he grade based on great tackles that have come out before? So if the scenario was you end up in this draft without the tackle, but you draft instead somebody you think is a game changer, is that something you'd be willing to do and take the heat of everybody saying, how could you not draft a tackle?
Yes. I mean, you're saying the game changer? To me, that's what they have to get.
Yes.
Right? So
rather than need.
Game changer to me is either on the defensive front, which is still thin, by the way, and I would say ahead of that, someone who scores touchdowns. Brian Callahan has mentioned that. They want someone that can score the football. That would be wide receiver in this draft. Or Brock Bowers in this draft, right? Like that's what I'm thinking of when you say game changer. They have those guys. They don't have enough. So if Joe Alt is Joe Thomas, you draft him. If he's not and you've got a game changer, I'm drafting the game changer.
Okay, the other part that we discussed this week is over the long haul, there have been some studies that have put out there that shows that trading down, it may not help you every time you do it, but over time, the percentages are the more you trade down, you have better success because you're ending up with more picks. And the variance between, say, the 7th player picked and the 13th player picked in a given year, over the long term, isn't that big of a difference. So
as long as you take best available player instead of need.
And that's a variable that I don't know is considered when you do all these studies, right? But if you believe in that, how much are you, quote unquote, looking to trade down based on that principle and the fact that they lack picks? They could really use a few more picks.
I'm only trading down, Willie, if it's a quarterback that a team is chasing, because that is the premium price tag that you can ask for. If it's any other position, I don't think you're not going to get the same type of return, whatever those future picks may look like and the current picks that would be needed right now. So, I'm only doing it for quarterback in this draft because, again, the goal would be you don't have many more top 10 picks. So go get if picks 7 through 13 or 13 through 32 are virtually the same type of player, make sure you get the best of the guys that are rated about 7 through 13. And it doesn't have to be a position of need if it's truly the description we just said, the game-changing type talent. I'm drafting that player. Now it goes back to quarterback. They should have that type of player with resources around them already. And the jury's still out on Levis, but I haven't heard anything either on the record or off the record that leads me to believe that they're not happy with the way he's treating the offseason. So, and the way that they want to go through the pass, right? They want to air it out. He can certainly do that.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hutt, last one for me. I could ask you all day long, what about this player at 7? What about this player at 7? Like, we could do that all day long. But I'll ask you about this player because I do think that he is such a unique prospect. What about Brock Bowers at 7?
I love Brock Bowers, but it's biased because I've watched him half the time on CBS's national game at 2:30. Watched him blow out a lot of opponents, right? I love the aspect that he got hurt and came back to play. He's already won a national championship. I'm looking at the mentality of the average athlete today. Not the mentality of Willie Donick at Vandy, okay? Where he's playing, he's coming back. I think Brock Bowers has an old school approach to that. Came back and played after the injury and knew he was going to be a high pick, knew that he was risking whatever it was to come back and play. Guys are opting out of bowl games. Brock Bowers is playing in bowl games, even after. You know, he's got a situation where they go from number one to, you know, not in the college football playoff. So, yeah, I appreciate that. And that factors into the type of player I would be looking for. There are other players like that. But he stands out because, again, I was watching him on a regular basis. And he produced. He was available. And this was as a sophomore. The scouts were saying that he would be a top five pick if he entered the draft as a sophomore, if he was allowed.
That's insane. Mm.
I don't know why things have quieted down on him. I realize that you don't want to draft a tight end as high because the market, it's kind of like running back. If you tag a tight end, it's not as expensive as the top players on your offense. I get why you don't want to make a rookie one of the top paid players at his position. But, I mean, if we're just looking and grading based on what we've seen at the college level, which is what they do, he's the type of player that would be high on the board, and he will be. And you know what? He's the type of player that will be not talked about now. He will be described as a steal Thursday night. And he's going to go to a Super Bowl contender. He'll follow that, and you'll see a team go after him that will truly enhance the offense and another layer that they can add to a good quarterback. He'll benefit from that, and he'll help a team win.
There really has been so little buzz about Brock Bowers, and I think it is because he plays the tight end position, that everyone is afraid of the T and the E next to his name rather than the fact that he's not really just a tight end. He's just a weapon.
He's the type of player to me, Caroline, that it's really this is the extreme example. But the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce rapport, he's the type of player that I think builds that within your locker room. Not saying it happens overnight, but I don't view him as like some, you know, video game guy who's racing home at 5 o'clock to do that. The 9-to-5 quarterback, as I believe Fisher described Vince Young. He's got some ball player in him that you need. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, again, he's playing for his team and trying to win instead of getting ready for the next level or the next week. That's important, especially down the stretch of a season where guys can slow roll an injury return for an extra week, trying to get the bye week.
Hutton, you're the best as always. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yep, always enjoy the show. I was listening earlier, and keep up the great work.
Appreciate it, Hutt. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. We'll get right into your phones on this coming up next because we've got loaded phones, reaction to what Hutton had to say, reaction to draft talk. So we are right to you on the other side. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.